The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Mike Edwards for the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Armchair Traveler. For the next half hour, I shall be reading to you from the News and Observer. Before we begin our journey on today's Armchair Traveler, please let me remind you that neither the North Carolina Reading Service nor I are endorsing any of the cruises, safaris, tours, or other travel itineraries that might be featured in the articles that we're going to be reading. These are selected simply for your enjoyment and edification. Today on Armchair Traveler, we're going to take a look at the cost of traveling in 2022. No doubt many of you may be considering a summer or fall trip, depending on your budget. Inflation and COVID-19 concerns continue to impact travel costs, like fuel, hotels, and meals. Writers Brooke Sutherland and Andrea Felsted of Bloomberg Opinion recently took a closer look at cost data to determine the impact on travel now and in the near future. Their article, Travel Defies Inflation-Fueled Spending Squeeze, appeared in the April 9, 2022 online edition of the News and Observer. And so we'll begin with that particular article. Here we go. After 2 long years of pandemic restrictions, travel is likely to offer a relative refuge from concerns about an inflation-fueled slowdown in consumer spending. Airline fares are on the rise. Michael O'Leary, chief executive officer of European low-cost carrier Ryanair Holdings, expects average prices to rise 5% to 10% from 2019 levels during this summer's peak season, the Irish Independent reported. The cost of lodging at hotels and motels in the U.S., meanwhile, has already surpassed pre-pandemic benchmarks, according to February data from the Bureau of Labor Statistics, and yet all travel industry executives can talk about is how red-hot demand is for their services. Carnival Corporation's flagship division had the busiest booking week in its history between March 28 and April 3rd after the U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention dropped its COVID warning about cruise travel and as redemption headlines for travel credits approached. Global airline passenger traffic improved in February from January as the effects of the Omicron variant faded and demand more than doubled from the year earlier period, the International Air Transport Association said. The trade group called on airport infrastructure providers to prepare for a huge increase in passenger numbers in the coming months. Spending on airfare was up about 8% from 2019 levels in the week ending April 2nd, while lodging purchases were up 17%, according to a Bank of America Corporation analysis of U.S. credit and debit card trends. We have seen extraordinarily rapid recovery, not only of demand levels, but pricing power, Marriott International Incorporated CEO Anthony Capuano said at a J.P. Morgan Chase conference in March. You've got to historically high levels of savings. You have folks that have been cooped up for 2 years. They have a lot of pent-up demand for leisure, he said. For example, there has been no discernible impact yet in Las Vegas on leisure visits from the expiration of stimulus benefits in the U.S., rising gas prices, or fluctuations in consumer sentiment. Bank of America analyst Sean Kelly wrote in a March report citing conversations with casino executives. When household spending power is squeezed, consumers typically cut back first on big, expensive items and things that are nice to have but not completely necessary. That includes home furnishings, big do-it-yourself projects, cars, and typically holidays. There are some signs that spending growth among lower-income consumers is slowing, particularly on clothing and furniture, according to a separate Bank of America report published in the week of April 12th. To that end, Melius research analyst, Rob Wertheimer, downgraded his view on toolmaker Stanley Black & Decker Incorporated shares to hold last month, citing concerns about a fade in consumer spending. The huge dip in restaurant spending during the first stage of COVID powered huge sales increases in things like tools, he wrote in a March note. The past few months, though, have shown a worrisome break in the long trend line of spending, with consumers seemingly unable to stop spending on other things as restaurant spend came back. There are only so many new TVs, kitchen counters, and Peloton bikes a person can buy, though. Consumers have spent the past 2 years investing in making their homes more comfortable. What the average person hasn't been able to do as much during the pandemic is go on vacation in farther-flung corners of the world. As a result, many are prioritizing expenditure on travel. It's not just that passengers are willing to hold their nose on higher prices. They're increasingly choosing more premium options. Room rates for American luxury hotels were up 25% in March compared with March 2019, a reflection of travelers' willingness to splurge, according to STR, a CoStar Group incorporated company. Average daily rates for vacation rentals are rising the most in urban areas, which were shunned for much of the past 2 years, according to AirDNA, a short-term rental data provider. Airlines previously thought that customers would choose business class or pay the extra cost for roomier seats only if their company was footing the bill for a business trip. Turns out leisure travelers like those options too, especially as they venture back out again into the world after spending so much time in their own homes during the pandemic. The pace of the airline traffic recovery has been similar across cabin classes, the International Air Transport Association said. In a sign the airlines expect the current robust demand to not only hold up but grow, all of the top U.S. carriers, with the exception of Delta Airlines, expect to be flying at or above their pre-COVID capacity by the third quarter, according to analyst Helane Becker at Cowen and Company. Delta isn't restricting flights because of a lack of interest. The carrier reported the highest cash sales day in its nearly 100-year history in March, even though it has restored only about 87% of its flying capacity. Delta is deliberately bringing back seats more slowly to ensure it can staff flights amid widespread labor challenges while keeping a close eye on fuel prices. To compensate for the higher energy costs, Delta needs to recapture about $15 to $20 each way on passenger tickets, President Glenn Hauenstein said at the J.P. Morgan conference in March. That's manageable in the context of an average ticket price of about $200 and the generally wealthier air traveler that Delta targets, he said. We see the increase in fuel that we'd have to pass through as something that is very, very achievable for the demographics that we have without demand destruction, Hauenstein said. Ultra-low carriers, or low-cost carriers, may run into bigger issues with sticker shock because their customers tend to be more price-sensitive, he said. Normally, it takes Delta about 60 to 90 days to adjust its pricing power and capacity plans to offset higher-than-expected fuel costs. That timetable has been accelerated thanks to the robust demand, and Delta expects a balance, or rather to balance out higher fuel prices in the second quarter, Hauenstein said. If higher commodity prices persist, we will have to see what impact they have, but please bear in mind the industry was able to cope with $100 oil between February 2011 and September 2014, Angus Kelly, CEO of Plain Lessor AirCap Holdings, said on the company's earnings call last week. We have every confidence that it will do so again this year. There is a natural limit to customers' willingness to tolerate inflation in travel. Already, there are some warning signs, according to Destination Analyst, which has been polling more than 1,200 travelers since March 2020. More than 60% of those surveyed between March 15th and 23rd said that prices were too high, and almost a third said this had kept them from traveling in the past month. A quarter said recent inflation in consumer prices had led them to cancel an upcoming trip. Meanwhile, the amount that American travelers said they would spend on trips this year fell to just over $4,000 in mid-March from $4,283 in mid-February. Even so, some 61% of travelers said vacations were a high budget priority for the next 3 months. After those first few trips post-pandemic are out of the way, higher prices will force many to think twice before booking the next one. Or they could force vacationers to trade down from a luxury property to a premium one or exchange a suite for two connecting rooms. But for now, travel executives appear justified in thinking this robust demand will last. So that gives you kind of an outlook, a forecast of what the industry experts feel. And by the way, in our next episode of Armchair Traveler, we're going to take a closer look at some ideas for travel featuring a very well-known travel writer, Elaine Glusak. So I hope you'll tune in for that. In the meantime, the arrival of warmer weather has many people considering a time-honored travel option, hiking or walking. Our picks for best hikes in the Triangle was written by Josh Schaefer and appeared in the April 13th, 2022 online edition of the News and Observer. As the editors state in their subhead, whether you're a tenderfoot or a trail beast, these are the trails you need to know. So let's find out exactly where they're going to take us. Even with 2 million people in the triangle, it's possible to drive 30 minutes to a spot so isolated the only noise is the tap of a woodpecker. You can hike 7 miles inside Raleigh city limits without seeing seven people, despite construction cranes across the downtown skyline. You could hike along the Eno River and find the stones of an abandoned cemetery forgotten by the cars racing past on the nearby interstate. The region's hiking trails are among its best features, crossing tens of thousands of acres, providing protected wilderness in cities all busily cutting down their trees. North Carolina's state parks alone span more than 60,000 acres, enough to wear out a pair of boots. Inside them, without binoculars or a field guide to plants, a casual hiker can find company in barred owls, bald eagles, killdeer plover, and a flower called Jack in the Pulpit. What follows is a guide to the best triangle trails. Dirts and rocks only, no asphalt need apply. You know the cliche, take only pictures, leave only footprints. First, we start with some easy strolls. These trails last for less than 2 miles and can be walked in a pair of old sneakers. All have parking. You can find out more about this trail at Seaforth Pond Trail. It's a 1.4-mile loop, and it's in the Jordan Lake State Recreation Area of Pittsburgh. And this loop starts out with a startling sign, "Watch out for copperheads and poison ivy." But those hazards are rare on the trail, easy to spot, and honestly just as risky in your backyard. This loop trail hugs two different lake shores and passes three ponds where you'll definitely spook a family of mallards, and if you're lucky, spot an eagle's nest. The soft pine straw bed and wooden footbridges make for easy walking. There's a bonus sighting, eggs from the killdeer plover. Next, we have the Swift Creek Bluffs. That's about 1.5 miles out and back. It's with the Triangle Land Conservancy of Raleigh Cary. This 23-acre preserve follows the swampy bed of Swift Creek, showing off a colorful collection of botanical names, hickory, mayapple, and trout lily. An anonymous poem appears on a plaque, "I am a raw human who wants to be free." Later, a set of wooden steps nicknamed Stairway to Heaven. The woods can be enjoyed without the short climb, but it leads to a 100-foot bluff where you can sit eye level with the critter holes and century-old trees. Hikers will hear the occasional racket from a nearby pump station, but it fades with a few hundred steps from the road. Imagine what this Cary borderland would look like without such a refuge. And there's a bonus sighting, muskrat, river otter, and salamanders. Then we have the Swift Creek Loop Trail. It's 0.8 miles, Hemlock Bluffs Nature Preserve in Cary. The scenery here more or less matches Swift Creek Bluffs just a bit further downstream, but Cary, being Cary, has tidied up the wilderness. This popular trail invites dogs and kids in strollers to hike on a wood chip path where the creek beds have been replanted and cleared of log jams. An elevated wood plank walkway covers roughly half the trail, and a 100-step staircase with multiple landings makes the steep part easy. It also points out the galax growing on the hillside. If you're fond of stepping on roots and rocks, pick a tougher trail. Then we have a bonus sighting with this one, peeper frogs. Next is the Buck Quarter Creek Trail. It's 1.5 miles, a loop, Eno River State Park, Durham. This short but spectacular loop takes a hiker to some of the gnarliest rapids on the Eno River, cluttered with jagged rocks. On a warm day, it's common to see people navigating the boulders and shallow water on foot, and you'll be tempted. This path is easily combined with the Holden Mill Trail for a longer jaunt should anyone feel inspired. You have a bonus sighting, nervous canoeist. Company Mill Trail, a mile or two if you cut it way short, William B. Umsted State Park, Raleigh. In its entirety, Company Mill runs about 5.8 miles, and it would place it far outside the easy stroll category, but it's best enjoyed as a quickie out and back to Crabtree Creek, so you do have a shortcut there. There's some rough terrain and a few steep hills on the way to the bridge over the creek, but even trail novices will grant they're worth the sweat considering the view waiting at the creek. The rapids on Crabtree always catch afternoon light, and it's a safe bet. Whole families will have plopped down on a rock to watch them flicker. Head onward if you're feeling spry, and a bonus sighting for this one, someone painting the creek. And then we have longer views and muddier shoes in our next category. These trails aren't any rougher on the knees, just a little more time-consuming. Maybe bring a snack. Waterfall Trail leads the list, a 2.8-mile loop, to Hart Botanical Gardens up in Lewisburg. For much of the year, this trail's namesake waterfall runs between a trickle to totally dry, but the real joy is walking in the steps of Alan DeHart, North Carolina's sage of hiking. DeHart taught history and psychology at Lewisburg College and founded the annual International Whistling Competition there. But his real passion lay in mapping out paths through the wild, particularly in the state's Mountains to Sea Trail. His favorite trail wanders through his own 88-acre wood, which he willed to the public. As long as you sign the log inside the gazebo, promise not to smoke, and leave your guns at home, you're free to range over DeHart's handmade trails and the wild plants he imported. A bonus sighting, abandoned home site. Then we have Vista Point Red, a 3-mile loop, Jordan State Recreation Area in Pittsburgh. This easy loop works its way through a flat pine forest to the edge of one of Jordan Lake's many inlets, where the land narrows to a point thin enough to see water on both sides. At a bench on the shore, you can see herons fly past, looking prehistoric, and empty mussel shells on the beach remind you this is some other critter's dinner table. A bonus sighting, dogs digging for moles. Raven Rock Loop is next, 2.6-mile loop, Raven Rock State Park, Lillington. Raven Rock is probably the most impressive geologic feature in the Triangle region, though technically it stands a bit south in Harnett County. At 150 feet, this wall of metamorphic gneiss has hosted countless thousands of field trips and daycare outings because of the massive rock outcropping forms to a playland along the shore of the Cape Fear River. A caution, reaching the bottom requires many stairs. This trail is easy and otherwise unexceptional, except for the overlook, which shows the river carving its way along the fall line where the rocky Piedmont turns to sandy coastal plain. Bonus sighting, icicles. Okanichi Speedway Trail, 4 miles of various trails. You'll find that in the Hillsborough area. This easy trek through pine forest can be walked in various ways, but the real reason to visit lies in its history as a racetrack, the only dirt oval remaining from NASCAR's first season in 1949. The highlight, of course, is the 1-mile oval that saw stock cars race past thousands and the ghostly grandstands that still remain with weeds growing on the seats. The Eno River provides some distraction, but the fun is imagining the crowd's roar as the cars skidded around turn one. A bonus sighting, the hulk of a 1938 Ford coupe. Then we have a good hard slog category, topping out at 867 feet. The Triangle doesn't have a hike that qualifies as a true leg breaker. Still, these trails will eat up half a day and get you good and sweaty. Good practice for the real thing, according to our author. First is the New Hope Trail, 5.4-mile loop, Jordan Lake State Recreation Area, New Hill. For the first trudge experience, combine the blue and red loops, red first to my taste. It doesn't take long before you reach the total quiet zone, where phone coverage gets spotty and even a falling leaf makes a noise. Some of the Triangle's steepest hills make up the red loop, again, nothing like the Blue Ridge, and the middle section follows the finger-shaped shorelines along the lake. Near the end, when you're good and tired, take the small jaunt to a bench overlooking what is probably the most sweeping view of the lake. A bonus sighting, you get to see some kingfishers. Then we have Sycamore Trail. It's 7.2 miles at the William B. Umsted State Park in Raleigh. Raleigh's longest trail starts near the Visitor Center off Linwood Avenue, but it's easily cut short to a more manageable and more scenic 5-ish miles by parking at the multi-use lot and walking the short spur. Grab a trail map at the Visitor Center, and this will be clearer. Parts of Umsted suffer from planes landing nearby, but Sycamore takes you into the park's guts, much of it along the trail's eponymous creek. Sycamore offers more non-woods-related highlights than most trails, including a cemetery dating to the park's farmland days and a stone bridge built by the Civilian Conservation Corps. A bonus sighting, a log art sculpture built from a fallen tree. Then we have the Falls Lake Trail, potentially 50 miles, but that's up to you. Falls Lake State Park up in Wake Forest. This gem of a trail represents the Triangle slice of the Mountains to the Sea Trail, which, if you were so inclined, would lead you clear to the Outer Banks. For a more modest stroll, head for the Falls Lake's Shinliff Access and march east. Hikers here have noted that if you squint a little, you might believe you were in the Blue Ridge. The rambling path guides you over stream beds and wooden bridges, offering a lake view for much of the way. Kids will want to wander under many attractive bluffs and onto logs leaning out in the water. There's no loop, so just turn around whenever you're halfway tired. My favorite spot is the memorial to James Jen Emmett Stewart, Jr., shown posing with a cat in the photo tacked to a tree. A bonus sighting? You'll probably see someone you know. Campbell Creek Loop Trail, 5-mile loop, Raven Rock State Park in Lillington. The signs here advise hikers to allow 3 to 4 hours, but a brisk walker will finish in just under 2. Briskness is by no means necessary or advisable here, though, especially at the 100-foot bluff overlooking Lanier Falls, one of the roughest spots on the Cape Fear River. This trail offers less flashy highlights along its namesake creek, which alternates between deep pools and rapids that actually burble. There's a wilderness campsite halfway around the loop and an outhouse for those who feel like staying extra long. A boulder where the trail meets the creek presents a perfect sunny spot, if you don't mind anoles as company. A bonus sighting, park bench dedicated to Valentine's Grant and Bingo. So there you go, Josh Schaefer giving us some ideas of some areas in the Triangle that you might want to enjoy on foot. Well, to be sure, the Triangle does not lay claim to all the great hiking trails available in North Carolina. An article headlined Going Further Afield is about North Carolina hiking trails that require a longer drive out of the capital city area. It's also written by Josh Schaefer and appeared in the April 13th online edition of the News and Observer. So let's see where we'll be going as we take this trip. We begin, the mountains get a little taller and the critters get a little stranger the further a hiker is willing to drive from the Triangle. But barring full-on Appalachian Trail hike, a four-hour drive or more, here are some options closer to the Triangle, but still a bit of a drive. Hanging Rock State Park in Danbury, just over a two-hour drive from Raleigh. Massively popular Hanging Rock offers a view like little else in the Piedmont. The steep, rough, stepping way up the park's namesake trail covers only 1.3 miles, but rangers suggest budging it an hour each way. Budget at least that much for the top of the Quartzsite Summit, which provides ample seating along the rock's jagged edge. Parents will want to keep a tight leash on this. The drops are severe, but the views stretch to clear, well, the next entry. And that's Pilot Mountain State Park in Pinnacle, only 20 miles from Hanging Rock. Pilot Mountain's signature knob may as well be North Carolina's official emblem. Visible for miles, it juts out of the Piedmont as its own advertisement or advertisement, and the view intensifies on a hike up the 3.5-mile grindstone trail. At the top, you'll share the view with flocks of raptors, especially hawks, but also eagles and ospreys. Then enjoy the road down back. Next up is Carolina Beach State Park down at Carolina Beach. Just across the Snowcuts Bridge, this park somehow remains removed from the beach crowd, tucked safely on the intercoastal waterway side. Hiking here combines swamps, marshes, dunes, and coastal forest, and the odds for wildlife spotting are even better. Pelicans and frogs abound, and small crabs will sometimes skitter across the trails. Once in a while, an alligator makes an appearance. I've been along this trail, and all of this is so true, and it's really enjoyable. Remember, Venus flytraps, North Carolina's official carnivorous plant, are illegal to collect, but you can see them here on this site. And then we have the Medoc Mountain State Park in Hollister. This park's name is something of a misnomer, considering the highest point is only 325 feet. This isolated patch of woods, 70 miles northeast of Raleigh, is worth a trip just for exploring a seldom-trodden path. Roughly 10 miles of trails wind through the Halifax County Park's borders, enough woods that hikers feel they have gone somewhere without going very far. Well, Medoc State Park is not far from historic Halifax, and I thought I'd pass this along. This is not part of the article, which offers yet another walking opportunity, and there are some highlights from the Visit Historic Halifax webpage that you might find interesting. Located on the Roanoke River, the town of Halifax developed into a commercial and political center at the time of the American Revolution. North Carolina's 4th Provincial Congress met in Halifax in the spring of 1776. On April 12th, that body unanimously adopted a document later called the Halifax Resolves, which was the first official action by an entire colony recommending independence from England. You can start your visit to historic Halifax at the Visitor Center with the museum and 13-minute film Halifax, Hub of the Roanoke, And during the regular hours of operation, a self-guided walking tour of the sites includes several authentically restored and furnished buildings, including the 1838 jail, the 1790 Eagle Tavern, and the Underground Railroad Trail. Historic Halifax frequently features costume historical interpreters and craft demonstrations that bring the early history of the Roanoke Valley to life. And they have hours Tuesday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m., and then they're closed on Sundays and Monday and most major holidays. But one good thing, admission is free. So if you want more about what to see in historic Halifax and surrounding area, check out Halifax at ncdcr.gov. Their website, again, is Halifax at ncdcr.gov. And why don't we complete our journey on today's Armchair Traveler, exploring a hiking trail that's a work in progress. Richard Stradling wrote this article. We're going to read an excerpt. It's about officials seeking to extend a trail from Clayton to Smithfield. This is from the March 23, 2022 online edition of the News and Observer. Dateline Clayton, cyclists and walkers can follow the Neuse River Greenway Trail from Falls Lake all the way to Clayton, where a spur called Sam's Branch will take them into town. From there, though, the trail goes cold. Continuing on to Smithfield requires sharing narrow country roads with cars going 55 miles an hour or more. Now there's an effort to change that by charting an off-road route into the heart of Johnson County. The County Parks Department, the North Carolina Department of Transportation, and several other groups are doing a feasibility study to determine how the Neuse River Trail might be extended and who would use it and how. The goal is to find a potential route that separates cyclists and hikers from cars, said Adrian O'Neill, the county's Parks, Greenway, and Open Space Coordinator. We want to get them so they're safe and so that people feel comfortable using it, O'Neill said, and that it can be used as an alternate form of transportation when feasible. As part of the feasibility study, the North Carolina Department of Transportation and the county have created an online survey to find out how people would use the trail and where they'd like to see it go. This survey was put online and went through April 8th, so it's already completed. In addition to connecting Clayton with the Buffalo Creek Greenway in Smithfield, the Greenway would be part of two longer trails, the statewide Mountains to Sea Trail and the East Coast Greenway. This is a planned 3,000-mile path from Florida to Maine. Now, there's a hike for you, huh? About 700 miles of the 1,175-mile Mountains to Sea Trail are completed off-road, with big gaps like the one in Johnston County. The trail crosses the triangle from near Hillsboro east to Clayton, and extending it to Smithfield would create the longest uninterrupted stretch outside of the mountains, said Brent Lawrence, executive director of Friends of the Mountains to Sea Trail. Lawrence said the survey is an important step. The majority of users of the MST are day hikers, not the folks that are actually walking from the mountains to the ocean, he said. So really having that community input and feedback will be important to see what the community would like to see in a trail here. O'Neill said the survey and feasibility study are also meant to let landowners along the route know about the possibility of allowing the trail over their property. And development of the trail will depend on landowners who are willing to sell easements, he said. And that, my friends, brings us to the end of today's episode of Armchair Traveler. We hope you've enjoyed it and that you'll be listening next time. I'm Mike Edwards, and I've been reading for the North Carolina Reading Service and reminding you that the content of the program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Armchair Traveler is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please direct them to 919-832-5138. The number again, 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.